Permet mia, permet mister, I can from hell and stay low by your plane, and I am bound, Lord, grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been following along with our study, you know that we're in Ephesians chapter 5. But you know, I look throughout the Word of God. We cannot improve upon God's plan. We cannot improve upon anything that God does. He is God, and we need to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And as I look through the Word of God, now we sometimes look at one section of Scripture like the book of Ephesians, but you'll notice there's other Scriptures that tie in with that book, with the book of Ephesians, because the Bible is one book. It all dovetails together, and there are no discrepancies found in the King James Bible, and that is the Word of God. But just before we look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, you know, I'm reminded in several of the Psalms about my Lord. In Psalm 18:2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." You can't improve upon that. He's everything. He's all in all, according to that. But the Bible doesn't stop there. We keep reading in the book of Psalms, and it says in Psalm 18:39, "For thou," and that's speaking of God, "for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle." When we have something come into our lives, we're in a battle here. We're still in the flesh, and we have battles. But the Bible says there, "Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." Of all who rise up against me, and I'll say personally, in other words, there are human beings who will rise up against you, and of course the devil. But you know, the greatest one, I don't mean in the sense that I look up to that individual, is me. The person who rises up against me is the old flesh. And I thank God that he's able to subdue that old flesh. Now, it means that I get into the Word of God, and the Bible tells me that I'm clean by the Word. So therefore, I get into the Word, and that old body, this old flesh that rises up against and puts me in a battle against the flesh, I go to the Lord. And I trust him to take care of the situation. Why? Because Psalm 18:39 says, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle." I have a battle going on daily. And we need to look to the Lord for all situations in our lives. Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Have you ever said this? "I don't know how I'm going to keep on going on. I'm not strong enough to keep on." Well, the Bible says it's the Lord who's your strength. "The Lord is my strength," according to Psalm 28:7. He is the one who can give us, and he does give us, the strength to keep on keeping on. Don't throw in the towel. Keep on keeping on. Pick up the towel and get back in the race. Paul the Apostle says that he ran a race. He was running a race when he was here. And we are running a race as well. And one day that race is going to be finished. And we're going to cross the finish line, either when this body gives up the breath of life or Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds and says, "Come up hither," and he calls us home to be with him. Well, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He's my protection. My heart trusted in him. I trusted in him when I got saved, and I trusted in him to save me and make me fit for heaven. And I'm still trusting him today to lead and guide me. The psalm goes on to say, "And I am helped." All of these things, he's my strength, he's my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. When I think of these things, and God calls these things to my remembrance, I am helped. The verse goes on to say, "Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Did you know you can sing without opening your mouth? Did you know that you can sing and make a melody in your heart according to the Word of God? We can sing. We don't even have to be able to carry a tune. But God says that it's what we have in our heart that makes the difference. We can sing to Him in our heart. Do you ever find yourself humming or just thinking about an old hymn that you've heard? Well, that's making melody to God in your heart. And finally, before we get into Ephesians chapter 5 once again, in Psalm 62 and verse 7, it says, "In God is my salvation." He's the one who saves us. "In God is my salvation and my glory." Now, on my own, I'm not worth much. But in the arms and in the presence of my God, I have glory. Why? Because He is glory. He's given me strength. He's given me salvation. He's given me protection. And He's raised me up out of the miry pit. He's raised me up, and I no longer have to fear hell or the onslaughts of the devil, because God is everything for me. The verse goes on to say in Psalm 62, 7, "The rock of my strength," there's the word strength again, "and my refuge is in God." He's our hiding place. When things get so rough that we don't think we can keep on going on, we have a refuge. We go to God, and we pour our hearts out to Him and say, "Oh God, help me. Lord, thank you for hiding me. You are my rock. You are my strength. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer, Lord. You are my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." That's what we can do when we go to the Lord in prayer. There's many things that we can praise Him for, so many things that we'll never run out of the things to praise Him for, but we do need to be praising our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, last time I gave you a little bit of an outline as to what is taking place there in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. But right now, I'd like for us to look at verse 1. In verse 1 of Ephesians 5, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." Well, what does that mean? I believe it means that, and what it's saying here is, be imitators of God. Now, the idea is not that these people were to, in the book, as we read about the church at Ephesus. Now, remember, not only is Paul speaking to the people in the church at Ephesus, but he's speaking to us today as the children of God. And the idea that we see here about being imitators of God is not that we are to be the friends of God or numbered among His followers, but that we are to imitate Him in the particular subject under consideration that we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians. The word "therefore" connects this with the previous chapter. Notice it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." Well, this connects us, this word "therefore" connects us with the previous chapter where Paul had been exhorting the people to kindness and to a spirit of forgiveness. Remember, we talked about forgiveness. And he here in this chapter encourages them to imitate God, who was always kind and ready to forgive. Now, in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 44 through 47, remember, we spent some time on the subject of forgiveness. But in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 47, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Well, I tell you, that's hard, isn't it? We can do all things through Christ who loved us first. But notice, Paul said, Matthew said this, and God said this. It's God breathed the book in Matthew. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Well, I tell you, without the Lord Jesus Christ, I could do none of those things. Love your enemies? Who ever heard of that? But the Bible tells us that we're to love our enemies. Now, the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God. Verse 45 of Matthew 5 goes on to say, "That ye may be the children of your Father." In other words, you'll be. This is an indication that you're the children of your Father, which is in heaven. "For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Well, you know, we do many things, and we sometimes think that, some Christians think they're better than anyone else. Well, that's not true. We're just better off than that person who's never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we have a tendency to look down on our enemies and say, I don't like that guy, or, you know, I just don't want to be around this person. But we're to love our enemies. We're to bless them. We're to ask God's blessing upon them. Now, as I look around, one thing that's prevalent in my mind today is the fact that the way our country is going at this present time, our leaders seem to be out of step. And they're certainly not in step with what God wants, according to the Word of God. Sometimes I look at those people as, well, maybe they're my enemy. And I look at those individuals, and I don't pray, oh, God, kill those individuals. I don't pray that. I pray, oh, God, take care of these people. Lord, save their soul. If they've never trusted you, Lord, may they know you as Savior. Send the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he would deal with these people so that they would get saved if they're not saved, and so that they would lead us in the right direction. Maybe you've got enemies in your life that maybe they've given you trouble in the past, or maybe they're giving you trouble right now. Well, you need to pray for them. Pray that God, first of all, would take care of them. Don't pray that God will kill them. Pray that God will take care of them, and that he'll do good to them. And the best good that can be done to them is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Pray for their salvation and pray for their well-being. Now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says this, and we've read this before. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's that word forgiven again. In other words, as he forgives us, as God forgives us, we should be ready to forgive others. As he is born with our faults, he's put up with it, we should bear with others. And as he is always ready to hear our cry when we ask for mercy, we should be ready to hear others when they want to be forgiven. And as the Lord is never weary with doing us good, we should never be weary in benefiting others. Sometimes we get a little tired, don't we? We just think, well, I just can't do anything else. I just don't know what else to do. But that's the time that God can really use us. That's the time God can really bless, because that tells me that when we get to that point that we have to depend upon his power. And I remind you, there's nothing done worthwhile other than through the power of God. You see, when we learn to follow Christ as we should, there is something very important that happens. We learn to follow the Lord more and more and more when we do what he wants us to do. You see, when we follow the Lord, when we become imitators of him, people take notice. And not only do brothers and sisters in Christ take notice, so do those individuals who need a Savior. Now, we should have the same outlook and confidence that Paul the Apostle had in 1 Corinthians 4:16, where he said, wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. See, we find Paul, and we see him here, we find how Paul could say, be followers of me, when we read in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me. How? Even as I also am of Christ. The next time we get together, we're going to continue on. This brings a joy to my heart to know that I can be a follower, that I am a follower, and that I can be an imitator of my Savior. I can be an imitator of God. May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer. And if you do not know Christ as Savior, may you know him today as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.